just hear me out on this. I think it'll play more like the GTA Online rather than the GTA Story Mode, but it's a single player game. Ooh. And by that, yeah, by that I actually mean I feel like it will probably have a lot more freedom, and it will probably let you decide. I think I heard somebody talking about it, developing the game. It'll let you decide what missions you want to do and, you know, how you carve out your path. What's up, guys? This is Project Reloaded with another video gaming episode. Today, we talk about Cyberpunk and how the competition for real life has begun. So stay tuned to this episode if you like video games or, you know, you're interested in the future technology. And yeah, this should be a good episode.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Project Reloaded podcast. I am one of your hosts, Q-Man, a.k.a. Quincy, and I'm here with another one of your hosts, Mike, the Project, a.k.a. Michael. Mike, say hello.
What's up?
And in today's podcast episode, we are going to be talking about a game that's been under the radar, but above the radar for a little while now. That is Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah. Mike, would you explain to the people what is Cyberpunk 2077?
Well, Cyberpunk 2077, if people don't know, it's basically a very advanced role-playing game. And it's going to be open world. You know, that's pretty big deal. It's going to be a focus on single player. And I just want to pull back a little bit more. Cyberpunk is actually a genre. But basically, the people who created it, pretty much where it originated, I think, was Blade Runner, the original one. And if you don't know that, I really suggest that movie, especially to like prepare to this game. And then also the new Blade Runner that came out recently. But yeah, Cyberpunk, it used to be a board game. It was called, I think, Cyberpunk 2020. And then now they're making video game iteration. And I think there was video game iterations before, but they were kind of like, eh. But now, CD Projekt Red, the same people who made The Witcher 3, who have plenty of awards, they're making this game. And so far, it looks like they have it done. They just need to put the finishing touches, which takes a little while too. Cyberpunk 2077 is in the same timeline that they had in the board game. So now it's kind of, it's the most hyped game for hardcore gamers pretty much in any category, in my opinion. Even if some people don't like the futuristic type of games, but we have a few things to say about this and we'll bridge this to other topics involving the competition with real life and how we believe the race for our time has begun.
All right. And for me, from what I seen in Cyberpunk 2077, it looks good. Like, think of a futuristic GTA. Like, GTA got more real and really advanced their technology. I'm not just talking about them shitty lasers, minigun lasers and shit. I'm talking about, you know, real life, implementing their logic and real life logic and technology and just mixing it together. And that's Cyberpunk 2077. Because I know you can customize your own character. Like you said, it's open world. You can drive around. And from the looks of it, it's basically mostly in first person. The only time you're in third person is like when you're driving. So you can drive in first or third person. That's what I saw from the gameplay I was watching earlier. But in my opinion, I really have big hopes for this game. I don't know much about it. That's all I know. But I hope it comes out really well and nothing, you know, will fly. I feel like it's going to be up there with God of War when it comes out. That's what I feel like.
Yeah, I wanted to just mention, like, I remember not too long ago in one of our previous episodes, I was basically saying this is the game that will pretty much bring me back into daily gaming. and I'll have to try to fit it in my schedule somewhere. But yeah, it used to be, I want to touch up on how GTA was kind of the it. You know, it had the it factor. It made the numbers. Now, I don't think this game will make the same numbers as GTA. I do think it will come out to be similar gameplay in the sense of, you know, leveling up your character. And I know this sounds kind of maybe off, but just hear me out on this. I think it will play more like the GTA Online rather than the GTA story mode, but it's a single player game. And by that, I actually mean, I feel like it will probably have a lot more freedom and it will probably let you decide. I think I heard somebody talking about it, developing the game. It'll let you decide what missions you want to do and, you know, how you carve out your path. And I feel like it will be very open, you know, the leveling up, the what you want out of the game, you know, the things you get in the game. I feel like all that will be very open, and this will definitely be a game changer. No pun intended. Or actually, you know what? Pun intended.
Knee slapper right there.
Yeah. But yeah, looking at the details, seeing that it will be oriented around a story, but still have a lot of freedom, and just having all the things that a good video game should have, and just tying it all together, it seems like this is going to definitely be a different world that's more interesting than our own. And I mean, I'm kind of scared at the same time for this, but we'll dive more into that topic of the competition with real life later in. But yeah, Q-Man, you got any other thoughts to add before we move on?
Well, I'm about to say, like, it does remind me a lot of, like I said before, futuristic GTA. And if it follows in GTA's path, I really think it will rival GTA sales and playability if they go on the right path. You see what I'm saying?
So it'll rival GTA 6, you think?
Not GTA 6, I would think GTA 5. Because like you said, GTA 5 was the it. It's like the it without the T, it's the I. Like, you know, it lost the T in the past year. But it's been the it between like 2013 and 2000, what year is it? 2018, like in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Because GTA, when it first came out, like everyone went crazy. Everyone wanted a copy. Everyone wanted to play story mode. Story mode was great. So many Easter eggs in that game that people can't even solve to this day. Like the door inside Mount Chiliad. You know where that tunnel is?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, they try to figure out, oh, what's in the door right there? A sea monster under the sea in the story mode. It's just a whole bunch of Easter eggs in that game. And on top of that, when they announced GTA Online, that got so much hype, so much credibility. It was like a whole different game, which it technically was.
Yeah.
Because when I get on GTA, I don't even play story mode anymore. I just play online all the time.
Facts, yeah.
You know, chilling in my house, building my cars, and making money. So GTA all in itself is just been big for years. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah, I wanted to touch up on it. Okay, you're saying like, okay, it's gonna be rivaling GTA Online, and I do agree with that. But I feel like what happens when Rockstar releases the next Grand Theft Auto game, it will be probably a year or two after this game release, if we're talking about, you know, end of 2019, beginning of 2020. So probably a year from then, we'll have some sort of Grand Theft Auto announcement.
But even with the new GTA, I'm really not sure how they're going to top GTA 5. Because GTA 5 in itself, you know, over the years, it's been a lot of hate towards it, a lot of toxicity in the community and just online in general. Like, I was online a couple of days ago. I spawned in, drove out my garage. You know, I was driving around, and a nigga just blew me up in a fucking oppressor. I'm like, bro, right. I'm over here being a good citizen, stopping at the red light, and I just get blown up. Like, what the fuck? Like, I just wanted to go to the store. Like, I'm trying to stack up on my snacks. Like, but yeah, with all that toxicity and you know, just bad people in the game. For GTA 6, I still don't think it will top GTA 5. Because, like, they have to do something big and something so different in GTA 5. Yes, they have to keep some of the same elements, but they have to, like, blow GTA 5 out the water to even top it. Mm-hmm. You know? Because with GTA 5, you got just the story mode, then you got regular online, and then on top of that, you got 5M. 5M, if you don't know, it's like GTA 5 for PC, and it's just a whole bunch of mods. So, like, you can go into different servers, and just, like, you can role play. You can be a cop, or whatever job you can be, you can role play. You can go into some drift servers, some drag servers, shooting servers, just a whole bunch of different servers. So GTA 5M is just a whole different game itself, where people just play with mods and mess with the physics and see what happens. So with that being said, GTA 6 is going to have to be crazy. Like, it's going to have to be just crazy. I can't even describe it. I don't even know how they're going to do it.
Yeah, that reminded me of Rockstar and how the Grand Theft Auto series, if you look at, like, every new number they had, every new number was a big step in the next game. Like, okay, you look at Grand Theft Auto, what was it? You know, just the first Grand Theft Auto. I think that was, like, top down. I don't even remember if it had, like, a bunch of colors. You couldn't move around as much. Yeah, and then GTA 2, I think they reiterated on it where they added a bunch of, like, things you could do. Like, it had a lot more content. And then GTA 3, that was, like, the big deal. That was, like, the, you know, you were in 3D. Your character was there. And then, you know, Vice City, San Andreas, they basically had the same graphics. If we're talking about, you know, evolution of the series. And then, boom, they released GTA 4. And then that was a whole, you know, that was a whole different thing. That was, you know, updated physics, everything. And it was just like a whole new platform. Right. And then, you know, boom, 5 years later, or however long, they released GTA 5. And that was something else. You guys already know, top charts, all that. So honestly, I predict they may not just come out and release a GTA 6. I feel like they may just release another title in a different location, but it will still have that, you know, GTA feel, like GTA 5 feel, I mean, just like Grand Theft Auto 3,
right,
with Vice City and San Andreas. I feel like they could end up doing something along those lines.
Right. I feel like, now you mentioned, I feel like that might happen too as well. Because it'll be fine if we finally get a new location. Because, you know, I'm getting tired of that map. Even though the map is big, I know that map like the back of my hand. And I be sometimes getting triggered when I, like, pick up a random person. They be like, I be on the mic. They be like, take me to the store. I'm like, okay, bet. And they always ping your GPS. I'm like, nigga.
Right.
I've been playing this game for years. I know where to go. Don't try me on that fuck shit.
You know, some people are speculating that there will be, like, a GTA world next. And I don't know how to, I feel about that.
I don't even know how to respond to that. Like
you know how Black Ops, they incorporate all their maps.
Yeah, in Blackout, they incorporated some of their old maps.
Yeah, so that would be, like, a GTA world. But, I mean, that's just kind of speculation. Going back to, like, the cyberpunk thing, like, you talked about, like, you know, griefers. The single play experience, I feel like they may or may not have a multiplayer. So, I mean, that could be a good thing. But if they do have a multiplayer, I feel like they will have, it will be like the Watch Dogs approach, where it was kind of like competition in the world with another player in some type of new advanced way that was kind of similar to Ubisoft's take.
Yeah, but that's how GTA kind of did it as well. But they also integrated, you know, teamwork and stuff like that. They had both sides of the card.
I mean, if you look at GTA Online, that was kind of something new for Rockstar. Like, and they, I feel like even though, you know, how expensive it is, how much money they pumped out from it, they implemented that really well. Like, it's a pretty fleshed out game standalone. And that's why people are still buying Grand Theft Auto 5 today.
Yeah. Like I said before, GTA Online is a whole different game in itself. Like, when it first came out, I was so surprised. I'm like, bro, what the? Like, I didn't even know what to do. I was just walking around, running around, stealing cars, just getting blown up by, you know, at the time, getting blown up by level 100s. And the game just came out. Like, I ain't gonna lie, I was mad at GTA Online because I could not get into it. I was getting blown up and I didn't know what the fuck to do. But then later on, when I got my PS4, I got back on GTA. I was like, all right, I'm gonna make some money. And then I have to start building up wealth. And now, you know, I got it like that, you know?
Yeah, I have so many memories in GTA Online. Like, it's crazy. I wanted to move back to, like, the topic of, like, you know, the competition with real life. I mean, we kind of are discussing it, but the thought of how you don't have to really create your path because it's already there. But now, in video games, it's not already there. It's a whole world where you get to play around in, just like real life. So it's really competing with real life and the decisions. And, you know, GTA, for example, the mission was make a bunch of money so you could buy all these things. I mean, that's kind of some people's missions in real life, as bad as that sounds. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it'll go more in depth in different corners of different pursuits as these games progress, I feel like.
Right. Because GTA is like a very materialistic game. Like, you do this job, you get some money, you go buy some shit, and then repeat. I mean, you can get a passion, a game for it. Like, for me, as you guys know, I'm a car enthusiast. So, like, whatever cool car I see on the market, I do a job, get some money, buy it, upgrade it, drive around and enjoy it.
Right. You know? And now you have decisions of, like, you could do a heist instead, or this and the third, like, whatever, or, you know, missions or et cetera.
Like, it's to the point where it's, like, you can actually have, like, a routine. Like, let's say you get on GTA every day. All right, you get on GTA, your character wakes up from the bed, hit the shower, change the clothes, pick a car, like, go to work, go to your office, do a job, keep on working until night falls, and then go to sleep. Like, you can have a whole routine on there, and it's crazy.
Like, you'll see on YouTube, like, days in the life, GTA.
What's going on, man? It's your boy, XXX/Demon Prince, right. Slash XXX. Like,
people are having vlogs in video games. It's getting to that point where competition with real life is insane. I wanted to mention that virtual reality thing. You saw that dude.
Oh, yeah. All right. Let me explain. So, basically, it's this video of this dude. He did, how long was he in VR?
A week.
He wanted to see how different his life would be if he had a VR headset on all the time. So he did that. And while I was watching, I'm like, in the first couple of days, he was trying to get used to it. But then after like Tuesday and Wednesday, it was just an everyday thing for him. Like, he instantly got it. I'm like, damn, is that easy? Just one or two days and crazy. It's just like a regular decala? Like, what do you say at the end?
I don't remember. I remember he said he went back to real life and he started looking at people differently. Like, they were AI.
You should just see regular AI walk on the street.
I don't know if you heard about this, but Elon Musk, one time he was like, oh, I believe that we live in a simulation because the probability of that is actually very high. Because if you think about how many realities we can make, who's to say this isn't a simulation that was created by someone like us, just a higher form or something like that.
Elon smoked all that weed and ideas. His brain is in a higher place than ours.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, that is crazy to think about, because think about it. We might be in a real-ass simulation. Because, you know, when we die, people believe in reincarnation. People believe in heaven and hell. Other people believe in the simulation. Like, once we die, it's like we wake up in a lab, like, bro, what the fuck just happened? Like, I remember I saw a meme about it. It was like, what if we're all just aliens, and once we die, we wake up from a bad trip when we was doing drugs? Like, it was a picture of an alien smoking weed, and he wakes up like, bro, how was it? And he was like, bro, that shit was crazy.
But, I mean, if you think about it, like, Elon Musk, he's not too far off from basically the concept of religion. No blasphemy, but if you look at, like, he's saying, oh, there was a higher form that created us. Well, religion basically says the same thing. There was an ultimate creator, and then he created this, and he put us in it. And some people could call that a simulation because he's running the test through us. I mean, it could be seen as a metaphor too. You know, you're living in this quote unquote simulation, so you might as well take it as far as you could take it.
I don't know, man. That's just crazy. Because who knows what happens after we die? Like, it's just crazy. But I do believe in, like, there is multiple dimensions. I do believe in that.
Deja vu.
Like, deja vu is definitely real, because, like, I'll be seeing to the future sometimes. And then once I get to what I saw back then, I'm like, bro, I know I saw this somewhere. Like, deja vu is real. Multiverse theory, I know that's real. Don't at me. Okay. But yeah, back to the whole cyberpunk being the competition for reality. Man, video games in general with VR, it's come to the point where it's like I said in the other episode, I think it was the current state of gaming episode. I was talking about Player One, that movie. If you haven't seen it, it's a good ass movie. Basically, we're all going to be living in a virtual world, and we're just going to stop going outside. Everyone's just going to be in that world. It's going to get to a point.
Google and the streaming thing. Oh, the new news, Stadia.
The new Stadia. So people, if you do not know, well, Google had a, I guess you could say conference or whatever.
Presentation, yeah.
Yeah, presentation. And it was basically saying that they have this new thing where, let's say you're watching gameplay of Need for Speed, right? You're watching someone's gameplay of it, and at the end of the video, you will have the ability to actually play the game right then and there. That's what they said. And you can play it on your phone, if you're watching YouTube on your PlayStation or Xbox, you watch it there. You can do it on your laptop. It's basically PlayStation Now, but for Google. Like, you're basically streaming the game.
We were actually talking about that just the last episode, PlayStation Now, how basically be like Netflix, and then these other services would be like Hulu, etc. Well, Stadia is basically going to be YouTube for games, I feel like, eventually. Because they were showing some indie titles on there, and it kind of made me think how video game creation will kind of be an open thing. And just like people make YouTube videos, people are going to be making video games. So it'll be like YouTube for games, which, you know, I think is good for the progression of the future of entertainment. As far as Wi-Fi speeds, fiber optics is crazy. Me and Q-Man were just talking about it before we recorded. He's had Google Fiber before. It's like super fast. And we were also talking about how the service will probably try to be bundled with Google's different services eventually, just like cable does it. But Google's going to find a way to do it better like they always do.
Right.
Basically, it's a little bit expensive, but the presentation, he was talking about, you know, 4K, 60 frames per second. Well, they're going to be selling these fiber optics as a service with whatever they bundle. It'll probably be like $100 a month for, you know, $30 extra for this service. And, you know, it will make sense for some people.
I just don't know how they will implement this. Like, it's a good idea. I'm on the fence. It's a good idea, but I just don't know how to implement it. Like you said, they can implement it with the subscriptions, with the bundles and all that.
Yeah.
It's all about service and availability. In the presentation, they also said they bought the crappiest PC they could find and they still could run it fine, which I call bullshit.
Well, it's streaming, so it's based on your Wi-Fi. It's not actually running it, and that's how it's able to handle it, I think.
We'll all just have to see how.
Yeah. You know?
And they say they have their own controller as well.
Yeah, I saw that.
The controller looks fine. It's like a PlayStation mixed with Xbox. It looks more like a PlayStation controller to me, to be honest. But
really?
I don't know.
I was thinking the Xbox controller.
It's a little bit of both, you know, best of both things. Yeah. Well, one good thing, one bad thing. Xbox, terrible. But yeah.
Yeah. I actually like the Xbox controller, though. I mean, I like the PlayStation 1 better. Don't get me wrong. But for like, big-handed people, I feel like the Xbox controller is, like, a little bit more comfortable.
The Xbox One controller, like, the, I forgot what it was called. It's, like, the base model is black and it's silver and it has in the you know, like, the D-pad?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, kind of interchangeable.
Oh, yeah. The, like, Elliot controller, I think.
Yeah, the Elite controller. Now that, I can't lie, now that's fine. And they got the little paddles on the back.
Yeah.
Now that's fine. I ain't gonna lie. When I saw that, I was like, damn, I want one.
Yeah. Some people buy that just for their PC. But I want to touch up on that too, is they said you could use any controller, which, like, you were talking about accessibility. I mean, Google, I feel like they thought about it. They've been doing this for a little while. So I feel like this has a lot of potential and the competition is great for, I mean, the entertainment industry, period.
In the future, they're going to be like, hey, bro, what you play? I stream, first of all. You're a peasant. You still have a console?
For real. It will be like literally streaming will be the new I'm PC Master Race, you know?
Really, like, everyone's gonna be on PC.
I know.
PC is Master Race, but
yeah, but they're gonna start saying streaming is like the new overtaker,
right? And like, new player coming in streaming.
Like, look at this. All right, everybody's gonna be able to post their gameplays so easily. Imagine playing Cyberpunk on any device. You could always record for, you know, your video content or your streaming content. And then eventually game developing will be as easy as, this is kind of just a theory, but I do feel like this is happening. Like, it started really, I know this sounds odd, but Roblox back in the day, you used to be able to like create your own code and crap like that. I never really got into it, but I could have. But it was kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? A gateway for kids to kind of get into game developing. And then, you know, Minecraft, you could, I mean, that's more of the creative side. So it's more like Legos, but.
It reminds me of MySpace, actually. Do you remember MySpace?
How so?
Because MySpace, you have to, like, you know, go in to the coding side on your laptop and, like, change. You can change different fonts. You can change your profile picture, add music. MySpace was kind of ahead of its time. Kind of.
Yeah, I get the concept, though. Like, this future of what gaming will probably be, like, somebody creating a video content, or, you know, even before that, it was like creating a MySpace page for reference. And then it kind of is building up to this moment, I feel like, where, you know, you'll have the crazy good games, Cyberpunk, and then you'll have a bunch of indie developers with, you know, they'll be able to freaking stream it. I mean, high hopes for this Google thing, because competition will be tough.
Because they got to deal with PlayStation and Xbox and PC, the big baller. So Google has a lot riding on their heads already, but they do everything right. Ooh, we have a new challenger approaching.
I know. So wrapping those two subjects up, Cyberpunk and streaming, what are your predictions?
Well, for Cyberpunk, if everything goes well, it will, like I said before, it will rival GTA 5. And it's going to be a new hot game on the market, and it's going to stay like that for the first year it's come out. I wouldn't say it's going to be like Fortnite, but I'm going to say it's going to be like God of War.
Yeah, like the humble version that deserves more respect.
Exactly. And for the streaming, same thing. Everything is done right and done well and done what we gamers want.
Yeah.
It's going to be a new challenger approaching. It's going to be exactly like Smash Bros. A new challenger approaching.
Yeah. For real.
Well, what about you? What are your thoughts on both?
Honestly, we're entering a new world of gaming and entertainment where both of these are kind of timed at the probably the best moment for entertainment's sake. The competition with real life, like just looking at it, Cyberpunk, you know, high hopes for it. The streaming thing, high hopes for it. If both of these came together, you have AAA games on the streaming service. You know, you got Cyberpunk on all your devices. You got Cyberpunk on your phone, in your house. You're just hanging out. You're gaming. You know, you fit it in your schedule.
On your microwave. On your fridge.
On your microwave. For real. It's kind of crazy. Like, it'll be easier to incorporate in your life, the accessibility aspect of it. But same like with YouTube, like I was saying. The more access you have to it, you know, the more you're going to have to find limits for it, because it'll be easier to get lost in a time. Just like, right. I'll be watching YouTube videos and it'll be like 2 hours later, I'll be like, damn, I need to start being more disciplined. That type of thing. Like, you got that with gaming. That's a whole nother demon in itself.
Gaming and technology, they're both exciting but scary at the same time, because people hate change, especially big change as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people will be on board, but others, oof, they all traditional. They like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah. That's exactly how they
do. Yeah. Like from our off the cuff episode, we were talking about, you know, having an open mind. I like to think of myself where, like, I'm traditional, but in an open mind type of way.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I'll go down the rabbit hole and I'll discover new ideas and embrace what's for the better.
Yeah, for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I see what kind of mindset you got. I'm just, right now, I'm just an open book. I love to experience new things. Like I say in the other podcast, experience is everything.
Yeah, any last thoughts? I think we said all our thoughts on the recent things on what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, also, I think we covered it, but a little bit. This is kind of off topic, but like what we said before, me and Mike, we was on researching Google Fiber, because when we found out about the Google streaming gaming stuff, we wanted to see.
Yeah.
I looked up on Google Fiber to see their prices. It's really cheap. Like, you can get Fiber, you can get Fiber 100 for $50 a month, and that's with no cable. And you can get the Fiber 1000 down to 1000. You can get like 1 gigabyte of upload and download speed. Yeah, and that's like crazy. $70 a month with no cable. And that's pretty cheap, to be honest. For internet, it is kind of pushing it, but at the end of the day, it's kind of cheap.
Yeah. Like, fiber optics isn't in every area yet. Right. But I feel like that's the future, and that's where the Stadia platform is really going to get tied in.
Oh, yeah. I feel like Google's plan is, like, try to get Google Fiber everywhere in the mainstream and, like, the unknown places. Then that streaming, that Stadia, is going to go right next to it, you know, to make sure everyone got to it.
Google's plan is make sure every individual, every person, the whole 7 billion plus, make sure we got their eyes and we got eyes on them.
Right.
Google.
Everywhere. You want Google Fiber? You want to play some games? Google Stadia. You want to listen to music? Google Music.
Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
You want someone to talk to you while you're at home, but you don't got Alexa? Get a Google Home.
For real.
That's what I got.
Google's gonna hear a podcast. They're gonna hear the part we heard about. They're gonna hear the part we said about fiber optics and the Stadia. They're gonna be like, "Oh, look, we got a free sponsorship."
Hey.
And then they listen to this part. They're like, "Oh, uh-oh, we got to do something about these folks.
We got to do something about them."
Yeah. Nah, but I mean, Google is everywhere. You got YouTube. And now...
You got Gmail.
Yeah. Literally, Google is the internet right now.
Like, Google is so big. The only time we use Bing or Internet Explorer is to Google. Like,
big facts.
Like, I remember it was a story. It said Bing. It was like the most searched thing on Bing was Google. I remember Bing was the shit back in the day. I remember commercials about it. There was like, I remember for promo, they was giving away a Xbox One. Like, it just came out. They was giving out Xbox One. They was like, which one do you use, Google or Bing? And if you said Bing, you got an Xbox. And I'm like, bro, where's this guy at? I want an Xbox.
For real. Nah, but I heard Bing was powered by Google's search engine.
I mean, now it is probably. It was his own search engine.
Yeah, I remember seeing it in the corner. It's like, Bing, I thought that was supposed to be the competition. Now they're like, using the same search engine.
Like, what happened, Bing?
Right.
But
yeah, that whole competition thing, I think it's also a thing of gathering our information. I mean, that's no doubt. Whether you want to care about it or not, it's the future. That's where we're going in. Privacy is probably not going to be, that's going to be a thing of the past. And like Q-Man was saying, our traditionalists, like, yeah, they're going to be angry about it. Yeah. Like, but
we don't know everything. We're going to be all up in your business.
Yeah. But there's pros and cons to the future, to the past. And to infinity and beyond.
Buzz Lightyear comes out of nowhere. But any last thoughts on any other topics we have discussed today?
I mean, I think that sums it up. Social media too. You know, competition with real life. It's really real. And I don't want to talk too much about it and repeat myself. But yeah.
Yeah. But if that's being said, thank you, every single one of you beautiful, beautiful, beautiful children. All y'all so pretty. Like, y'all just fucking beautiful. Every single one of y'all. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Project Reloaded podcast. And today's topic, it was kind of interesting. I really do like it. Let us know in the comments if you are watching on YouTube. Let us know in the comments if you got any more suggestions or topics you want us to talk about. Give us our thoughts. We have been your hosts, Q-Man and Mike the Project. Mike, say goodbye.
Peace out, guys. Drink water.
Drink water.
Be sure to check out our next episode. of Off the Cuff. It should be on. We don't know yet. We're still figuring it out.
We will let you know on IG. You can follow us at Project Reloaded.
Yes. And yeah, subscribe.
And comment and like and share.
Yeah, for real. Peace.